Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. You'll find this starting on page 282 of your Pew Bibles. And then while you're flipping through your Bible, I'm also going to reference something in Matthew 12. And so that is on page 1514 of your Pew Bibles. Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox or your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Pop quiz time. What does Sabbath mean? Rest. Seven is not a good translation of Sabbath, but rest is. But Sabbath is supposed to happen on the seventh day, so fantastic to you as well. What does rest mean? Anyone? Nap time. Taking it easy, I like that. I like nap time. Sabbath is rest. What rest means is a fantastic question. If you look at the Hebrew word sabbat, which is Sabbath, when it first appears, it's just taking rest. On the seventh day, God sabbat. I don't know how the parsing goes, but sabbat is the word that is used to describe what God did on the seventh day. He rested. He stopped from his toils and labors throughout the rest of the Old Testament until we get to the Ten Commandments. It's resting, relaxing from your labors, taking a holiday. And then when the Ten Commandments done, Sabbath becomes a proper word. On the seventh day, you rest. You do not do any of your labors. You spend your time in rest. And this from Deuteronomy is quoting Exodus and the Ten Commandments from Exodus when Moses received the tablets. But there's more to rest than just resting. It's not just napping. It's not just sitting on the couch watching football and drinking beer. It's not just eating chips or sitting around the fire. Sabbath has a relationship to God. My preaching professor in seminary wanted to make sure that we understood this. When I'm standing up here preaching, I am also participating in that Sabbath. Now, this isn't rest for me. This is part of my labors. But if you look at the Old Testament, the teachers went to the synagogue and taught on the Sabbath. Or the rabbis. Teachers, best way to split that, though. People were being taught in the synagogues and the temple on the Sabbath. So rest is not just doing nothing. There's a God component, a prayer component, a restorative component. It needs to be an active thing. But one of the weird things about Christianity and us forming from Judaism is how do Christians view Sabbath? And the only way we can really see that is through the New Testament. Now, I won't be able to give you a clear-cut answer because the Christian church has been arguing about this for 2,000 years like we do so many other things. but I can kind of give you a little bit of a lens into what New Testament Sabbath was, what was important, especially to Jesus. And so that's where we're going to go from Matthew. Matthew 12, 1 through 8. So when you look at the New Testament, there's basically three ways that Sabbath is used. It's used when Jesus goes into the synagogues and teaches. It's used to talk about Mary Magdalene waiting till the end of the Sabbath to come in to deal with Jesus' body. And then it's used to describe Jesus and his disciples breaking the Pharisees' interpretation of the Sabbath law. And so Matthew 12 is one of the great examples of Jesus and the disciples breaking the Sabbath. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pluck some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw them, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and he ate, and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or have you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent?" Basically, we're preaching, but we're still innocent. "I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." I love this example because it shows that the law is created for humanity, not humans for the law. Does anyone here know about Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Show of hands. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Okay, so I'm going to need to explain. I just wanted to take a temperature of the room. Maslow's hierarchy of needs is this great thing. It's a pyramid. And at the top is enlightenment. And at the bottom are your physical needs. And the only way to jump up levels is to address your physical needs. If you're hungry, you won't be able to do much else. If you're hungry, sitting in prayer, if you're hungry and not intentionally hungry, this isn't to say that you shouldn't fast, but if you are just without food, sitting and praying will do nothing for you because all you can focus on is the hunger. And so when Jesus' disciples are walking through this field, they're hungry. They can't focus on anything else, and they're walking through a field. And so they pluck grains. It's not like they're doing any actual work. But the Pharisees have got this very strict notion of what rest is supposed to be. You can't do anything, nothing on the Sabbath. It's not allowed. And so even plucking the head of grain as you're walking past is too much. Clearly, they've missed something here because to them, the law is designed to be followed. It's not designed to help. It's not designed to improve. It's simply there to score points and do well enough. Clearly something has failed. Clearly they have missed their mark somewhere. And Jesus doesn't like that very much because he's very focused on the law being for us, not us for the law. And so continuing, verse 9, "Going from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for reason to accuse Jesus, the Pharisees asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' He said to them, 'If any of you has a sheep and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is the man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored. just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. I want to point this out. Jesus' message was heal. If you can end the suffering of somebody, the Sabbath can wait. Your holy rest can wait. End the suffering of someone. The Pharisees' opinion was, Jesus healing this man is bad enough for us to kill him. They're missing the point here. Holy rest is for us. God doesn't need humans to follow the law. God doesn't need humans to have their holy rest. God doesn't need us to have that relationship. But God desires it. And God wants us to do what is best for us. But this idea that if you meet a healer, but it happens to be the seventh day, you need to suffer an additional day. And the healer can't heal you. If you're a healer, you just have to watch somebody suffer for an additional day because it happens to be on your holy rest. That's not the point. Never been the point. Holy rest is for us. Think back to that passage that Angie read. At the very end of it, Jesus is doing all of these things. Then at the very end, he often went out by himself and prayed. I want to make sure I'm not giving you the wrong message here. The message is not that you shouldn't have rest and shouldn't have Sabbath, but that the Sabbath is for you and your soul. Jesus went out and prayed by himself to restore his soul and restore his relationship with God. Not that Jesus' relationship was broken with God, but that connectionality, that strengthening. That's what the Sabbath is for. That is what our rest is for. Because we need rest. We cannot work forever without rest. Burnout is a thing. Exhaustion is a thing. We have to have those times of rest. We cannot be in relationship with the Father if all we focus on is our labors. We might want to be. We might think that we are somehow better than Jesus, but we need rest. The point being, your rest is for you. Your rest is for you to go back to the Father, to pray, to restore your soul. Your rest is not necessarily so you don't do physical things. I don't think that our Jewish brothers and sisters who refuse to even flip a light switch during the Sabbath have gotten it correct. I don't believe that people who think you can't cook during your holy rest have gotten it right. Now, if you do cook for a living and those are your labors, then you should be able to rest from them. But if cooking for you is something you enjoy, then why would you stop? Bankers need to get away from numbers and finance. Doctors need to get away from medicine. You need to get away from your labors. But that doesn't mean that we need to stop all of our physical motion. The point is that we need to rest. We need to find that holy space to pray to God. And not for God's sake, not for the sake of some rule, but for the sake of our souls. Summer is a great time to look at this. Many of us, our lives slow down just a little bit For you whose lives speed up, I'm sorry. But for those of us whose lives slow down, summer is a great time to look at this, to look at how, we are in relationship with God and how we aren't. Seeking those times to have holy rest. Okay, I gotta point that out. Megan, that was hilarious. Megan did this right as I was looking at her, and it made me laugh. Just like, I just was like, it stopped me dead in my tracks. A good pastor would have ignored it. I'm an okay pastor. But honestly, I think that's almost an illustration in and of itself. The point is not to be so focused on the ritual and the rigidness and being perfect, but using our times of rest to get back into relationship with God, to pray, to restore our souls. Not because it's we have to, but because our souls need it. That's the point of Sabbath. Find your rest. Find your space to pray. Find it. Like, don't ignore it, because otherwise your souls will hurt. But find it for your soul and your relationship with God, not just to follow a law. Find your rest and rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.